that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. On his brow, a crown of sorrow, for a king whose weakness was our strength, no word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the
His blood. cares for the thing to do. It is good, it is good, it is good to give thanks to you. For though the wicked spring up like the grass and are everywhere, soon they will perish, but all those planted in your house will grow. Forsake us, your word has told us, your promises will never end.
My brothers, my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, these are my sons standing here, Samuel and Ronald. And these are my sons in whom I am well pleased.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stewart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
The sanctuary and the fellowship hall, and let's give the Lord a hand. We're actually in three venues. We're in here, the fellowship hall. We've still got drive-in church outside, so I'd like to invite you, if folks are still reticent about health issues and coming, we want to invite them to come and take part here with our drive-in still outside. And we want to welcome everyone on Facebook and the radio with us today, and YouTube, and we're glad to have you with us as we celebrate and worship the Lord. And we're just going to have a fellowship time today, without hugging, without shaking hands and tackling each other and any of that. So let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you for the privilege to meet and to worship you. And we ask you, Almighty God, to fall upon us by your powerful Spirit. We thank you for the privilege you give us to fellowship, to interact with one another, to worship you as a corporate group in freedom and safety. And Father, we love you and praise you and thank you for everything that you do for us. And we just want to tell you we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Andrew. I'd like to share a couple of announcements with you. First of all, Vicki Davis is a sister in Christ. She loves the Lord. She's the supervisor of our elections. And they're looking for election workers. They'll pay you to do a couple of things, count in mail-in ballots, and then also to supervise on the day of election, be a part of supervision at the precincts. And they'll pay you for that. And I'd like to really encourage y'all as our members to pray about that, because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And when the wicked rule, there's a real problem. In one of our last elections, I was meeting with actually one of the candidates, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. He came over on election night and said, Pastor, can I pray with you and us have devotions on election night and you disciple me and work with me? And I said, it'd be an honor. So he and I were here on that election night, and he was leading the entire evening, and he said, we're going to go into this one area of West Palm Beach or Port St. Lucie West, and I'm going to go in there winning, and I'm going to come out losing because there's a nefarious director of elections there. And sure enough, he went in leading by about 3,000 votes, came out losing by 2,000, and lost that election. And they knew it was going to happen, and they knew why. And so we need desperately people who say it needs to be righteous, it needs to be honest. Every vote counted. Every true vote, votes for living people, votes for people who actually live where they're voting from. And there's so much nefarious activity going on. I've got dossiers I've read where they've studied this. And so as righteous people, honest people, law-abiding people, I want to encourage you to pray about being a part of helping count the vote and true the vote, and that true people vote, and that we count their votes. And so you'll actually get paid for it, maybe give you some shopping money now that the stores are opening. So I want to encourage you to take part in that. I'll see if I can get Vicki to come and maybe have an enrollment here, but love for y'all to take part in it. I'm thinking about doing it myself and being a part of it. And then next, we are going to have a 4th of July picnic. We tried to reserve the parks we've had in the past, and they won't reserve groups above 10. Well, that would be awfully hard to do. We could send everybody, you know, to 12 different parks or something or whatever, 15 different parks. But instead, we're going to have a picnic in the fellowship hall. And so I want to encourage you to come. We're going to provide everything and just ask for a $5 donation per person. Hot dogs, hamburgers. Our health committee is going to be just putting everything together and distributing it, so we're not touching the food. Only our people that have gone through health practices to do that. And so we'll provide, everything will be provided. Our youth will be selling candy at this. It'll be a fundraiser for our women's ministry to kind of recoup some money for them with our vending machines and that sort of thing. And so I want to encourage you to make plans for the 4th of July. This year, the 4th is on a Saturday, And we'll just be in the air conditioning and have a good time together, another time of fellowship, and we'll talk about that more. But some neat things coming up that we're excited about to look forward to. Just want to tell you I love you, and we're going to greet now. What we're going to do is just everybody stand up and wave at everybody, all right? Let's stand up, turn around, wave at everybody, okay? And that'll be our greeting. God bless. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love, Lord. We thank you that your love does surround us, Lord, and lift us up and bring us peace. Peace through the storms of life, Lord. And we just thank you so much that you watch out for us and you are a protector, you are a shepherd, Lord. And Lord, as we're about to go into this time of, even though we're not receiving the offering now, Lord, we just thank you for giving us the spirit and the encouragement to give back to you, Lord, and as we leave this place. And Lord, we just pray over this time, over the message of this song and over Pastor's message, Lord, that you would speak through him. And Lord, that you would just speak to us through his message today, Lord, and open up our hearts to receive your message to us, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for your love for us. In your name.
Thank you, Andrew. Praise the Lord. Well, as we're meeting back again this morning and gathering together again, I wanted us to look at, in Scripture, one of the sweetest words. Yeah, we're going to dismiss our children for children's church. Now, don't y'all hug each other, okay? Excellent. I want to look at one of the sweetest words in the New Testament. Koinonia is the Greek word, and our English word is fellowship. Fellowship. Of course, it's been said, and it's easy to say, that fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. And so there's a lot to that. We're going to look at some of the aspects of that this morning. But when we think about fellowship, the Greek word koinonia means living in community together. It also means having something in common, having commonality, things that we share, things that we value. This morning before I came to church, I was watching a little bit of a special about Israel becoming a nation again, May 14th, 1948. It was talking about the Palestinians and that whole Palestinian issue. And we need to recognize that the Palestinians are a modern construct. They're not an ancient civilization. We know in Scripture the Jews held the Holy Land and God gave it to them. It was the promised land thousands of years ago. In fact, in the Scriptures, every one of us that has a Bible with us today, we have the deed for Jerusalem that David received that's 3,500 years old. And so when you look there in that setting and you look at that situation, you see a division between the Jews and the Palestinians because they don't share commonality. They don't share common history. They don't share common religion. They don't share common thoughts. And so there's a division between them historically. And so when we look at these things, we need to recognize there's some interesting aspects about fellowship, some things that God blesses us with because we share them. If you've got your Bible, look with me in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. So then, those who had received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. First of all, we see when we think about fellowship and the joy of fellowship, we see, first of all, our fellowship should center around God's Word. It should center around what the Scriptures say. George Barna, the Christian demographer, basically the Gallup of Christians and the religious community of the United States, he said recently, in fact, I heard him speaking in Washington, D.C., that he no longer asks people, "Are you a Christian?" Because he said that's become meaningless. Because they can say they're a Christian and be opposed to everything in the Bible. He said instead he asked them, "Do you have a biblical worldview? And do you hold to and embrace the convictions of Scripture and the teachings of the Word of God?" And I'll give you an example. Just recently, we had President Trump stand in front of the Episcopalian Church, St. John's in Washington, D.C., called the Church of the Presidents, because so many presidents have occasionally worshiped there. And he stands there, and he's holding a Bible. And half of our community, half of our nation, tries to beat him to death over it. And specifically, one of those was the bishop of the Episcopalian Church over that area, who happens to be a lesbian, and is criticizing the sincerity of the president. This was just a photo op. This was insincere, and all of that. And yet, her lifestyle is completely contradictory to Scripture, claiming to be a bishop. We see in Scripture that God says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" How can we love the things that God hates? This is where we are now. We have Christians all over the nation that say, "I'm pro-choice." How can a Christian be for the killing of innocent babies when God hates murder? God hates killing. God hates killing. God hates sexual perversion. He's not indifferent about it. He hates it. Read Romans chapter 1. He's very clear about that. In fact, in human civilization, he's only destroyed one city in all of human history, or one group of cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and the other twin cities, and it was for homosexuality. God did that. And yet, we see those that claim Christ. And the Bible says that you and I need to have fellowship with those that share the values of Scripture. Not our values, God's values. It's very clear. It's black ink on white paper. If you can read and you're literate, you can understand what God says and what God believes. Can I hear an amen? If you're outside, honk your horn. And so we see in Scripture that he talks about in verse 41, if you look there with me again. So then those who had received the Word, his Word, were baptized. They first had to receive the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so God's Word illuminates our heart and mind. I'm going through the Bible again in my daily devotions, and I read a couple of the days this morning. And it's interesting that I find my spirit dries up if I don't read the Word of God every day, if I don't have daily devotions. There's just a dryness that comes into my Christian life. I've experienced it through the years. Most years I read through the Bible virtually every year. Last year I fell so far behind I didn't finish last year. Occasionally that happens. But there's a dryness that comes in if we're not continuing in His Word. And here we see that they continued in His Word. And our fellowship should center around God's word. And then it continues with baptism. Baptism is not a suggestion in the New Testament. Baptism is a commandment. Baptism does not save us. Baptism simply shows an act of obedience. It's a visual testimony, if you will. It's an object lesson. When we go and we go into the water, wherever it is, whether it's this baptismal tank or whether it's a pond or a river or a stream, we were baptized on a Holy Land tour years ago in the Sea of Galilee. And it's interesting that when we go into this water, we're carrying out an object lesson. And we go into the water and we stand there and we say, here I was and I was spiritually dead. I'm born that way like every human being on earth. But I died and I was buried with Jesus spiritually. And so we're lowered under the water to picture a death, a burial, a resurrection. And then we're resurrected to walk in a brand new life in Christ where he changes everything. The longer I live and the more people I pray with to receive Christ, if their life does not change, I have to say, were they truly born again? If their life doesn't change, if their language doesn't change, Jesus said, how can bitter and sweet water come out of the same fountain? Cussing Christians should be an anomaly. But I've played golf with a lot of them, and I can tell you that game can bring out some cussing, I want to tell you. Cussing Christians, profanity. We need to be clear in our speech. We need to have clean speech. We need to have this godly walk. Well, the baptism is an aspect of identifying with Christ. It's for those who are born again. It's after our salvation. It doesn't come before. Through the years, I've had people, well, I was baptized as an infant. Or I was baptized as a small child. Well, when did you give your life to Christ? Well, a couple of months ago, a couple of years ago. You know, when I was an adult. Well, then you need to be scripturally baptized. I've got some military uniforms in the back of my car. I've never been in the military. The closest I came was ROTC in high school. They were preparing us all for Vietnam. Now, I could go out there now, and there's one of those uniforms I tried on that I could wear that would fit, and I could put that uniform on, but that would not indicate that I've ever served in the military. That would not indicate that I've ever been part of the patriotic military of our country. That's the same thing for people that get baptized before their salvation. They go in a dry center, and they come out a wet center. You know, the water doesn't do anything for you. These old movies years ago, they'd go down in the woods and go down to the creek and they'd jump up with white robes and go running yelling, I just got my sins washed away. No, you didn't. And without soap, you didn't even get any dirt washed off. And so we see here that our fellowship centers around beginning our salvation, surrounded by the Word of God, and then continues with our baptism. Secondly, our fellowship should be devoted to several things, if you look again in our passage. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is doctrine. This is the systematic teachings of the true Word of God, the teachings of Scripture. Through the years, I've had well-meaning Christians say, well, I don't believe in doctrine, I just believe in Jesus. And they'll say, you know, doctrine divides people, but Jesus pulls us all together. Which Jesus? What Jesus? There's